say, you're live on the air.
Hey, John, Bobby Deal.
Oh, hang the phone up.
Only on Real Racing USA.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners. Drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Real Racing USA, back live on the airwaves. Jack, it's been a year, man. And again, your microphone's not up. And I don't know which one you're on. No. We are at the fine Real Racing USA studios here in Northport. They say it's 8 floors up, but I didn't remember climbing any stairs to get in here.
That's a quick elevator, ain't it?
Yeah, it's a quick elevator. It's quicker than that one at New Smyrna.
Yeah, man, a year doing this. This time around, you know. And, you know, I've been making these recordings of the shows from 2000, 2001, 2002.
Right.
And there's some ripe stuff on there, man.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a good time to start opening that vault back up.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's almost time.
Yeah, I'll have to dig down and find that picture of the vault door. And we'll open the vault back up, and y'all can listen to some of the old interviews we did. I mean, we did some killer. We had some really killer people on the show. You know, and it was all new to us. I mean, we started out in those studios on the pier.
I was listening to this one yesterday, because as I am transcribing them from Auto Channel, I'm listening to them sometimes in the background.
Right.
And you had Bill Green, yourself, Bill Green, and Hans Niebuhr and Craig Clark were discussing the concept of track promoters working together. That was fascinating. And then from there, you went into people on message boards and message board behavior. And it was like, I'm listening to it, and I'm going, deja vu all over again.
And with all these, you know, with everybody doing all these new internet shows and stuff, and it's like new news to everybody, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
We've been doing this a while, a long while. And to be honest with you, Jack, nothing's really changed a whole lot.
No.
You know, in the 10, 12 years we've been doing this, it's pretty much like what Don Nerone once told me, that all you do is put the cars out there on the track and they go around in circles and you can't control anything from there except with the flags.
Yeah, the players change. Some of the names change.
Yeah.
The game remains the same pretty much.
Yeah, I go back through the archives of Karnak and stuff and look at some of the old stuff that we did. That I wrote, that we all wrote, pictures and stuff. You know, like you got the picture of the fire from Lakeland up there on the wall.
Yeah.
Just some of the things that we've done and seen over these, you know, years. It's amazing to me.
But a year ago, you know, we started out doing this thing at the Snook River Grill this Tuesday night, Real Racing USA.
I have yet to see that vampire movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That was what was supposed to happen that first night. Yeah. But, you know, we started, there was a spinoff of a thing that we're doing with Bill Green. Of course, Bill's still working with us here and there with different projects, but Short Track America sort of evolved into Real Racing USA. We now have a website that, you know,
we've
got all kinds of stuff going on, you know, got some writers, Jane Smith and BJ Cavan both have been putting out some really, really good stories.
Really good, top-notch stuff.
And Stevie LaTempe, who works, of course, with us on the All Harley Drag deal and drag racing stuff, he's also a writer. You know, he used to write a lot. And he wrote the story there about the Jerry Lewis and the bug that we have on Karnak.com.
How timely to have Jerry Lewis.
I don't even know if I want to go. I don't know the facts of that. I just happened to catch that as I was walking by a television. Jerry, what are you doing, buddy?
$63 million.
But I'll tell you what. It's been wild. Ain't no doubt.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We got a really good show lined up. We've got Valerie Thompson. Now, this girl races Harleys, mostly drag racing, but right now she's at the Bonneville Salt Flats trying to set a land speed record. And what's really cool about her is she's one of the GoDaddy girls, too. And we're going to have the Brake Man on from thebrakeman.com. He's one of our sponsors here on this show. Interesting website. Go to thebrakeman.com for all your brake needs. We're going to have Skip on later. We're going to talk about the Martinsville American Wheeling 300 at Martinsville Speedway, the open wheel modified race up there. That's a lot of great stuff happening up there. Also, we're going to have Eddie Carrier Jr. Now, Eddie, if you listened last night, they had Earl Pearson Jr. on Inside Florida Racing. Well, tonight we're going to have the guy who won the race that Earl Pearson Jr. was in, the Hillbilly 100 at Middleburn, West Virginia. That's going to be good. Of course, Stevie LaTempe's going to be on. We're going to have the All Harley deal on.
Yeah, you know, and Skip Wall is
he's now out there. He was at Ace Speedway yesterday doing some coverage. And over the weekend, he was up at Martinsville covering the Whalen thing.
Yeah, I was just talking about that.
He's moving off to his own website. It's southernmotorracing.com.
Cool.
And we're helping him build that little thing up a little bit. And he's moving away from the Hooters Pro Cup into a whole other thing. And, you know, it's about time. He needs to expand his wings a little bit.
Yeah, some things get old fast.
But meanwhile, Rick, we have last year when we started this madness on Tuesday night, we had with us a couple of guests, John Sapricone and Bobby Deal. And guess what?
What?
They're back.
Oh, no doubt. You guys there?
Yeah. What?
John, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you there? All right, man.
This is Bobby.
Well, yeah.
A year ago, John, you were sitting in front of me, and I was interviewing you, and we got a special phone call, and it was Bobby Deal. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Times change.
I'm telling you. I mean, within a year's time, John, did you imagine that things would have progressed to the point that they are now?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know, you can't say it's over till it's over, or the last checkered flag falls. And that's the way things go, and they fall in line. And you know, I think it's been good for the sport.
Bobby, what about you, brother?
Well, you know, turmoil, I guess, sells newspapers. Shock therapy or whatever. And John and I had been really competing for a lot of the same type of things, like within the truck ventures. And I always wanted to have a racetrack, and John had one, and you know. And I can tell you, after getting a racetrack, you tend to have other views and understand other people's viewpoints, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does, Bobby. Now, tell me how your views have changed in a year.
Well, some of the things that I expected a racetrack to step up and do for a touring series, I learned pretty drastically the year that I had to go out and rent racetracks. You know, because I had to take it to the next level rather than being just a redheaded stepchild or even being the feature class for the night. We need to go ahead and step up and bring the late models, and that brought in a lot more, you know, things to have happen. But, you know, I had a real comfortable job since 1975 of educating America and had the fun of having a touring series and working that way. Never understood the nuts and bolts of running a racetrack on a day-to-day end till you own one.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, it's a different animal. It's an 800-pound gorilla that loves bananas and is trying to find the Empire State Building, and you're Fay Wray.
Well, you two guys, John Sapricone and Bobby Deal, there's no doubt you guys have sold a lot of newspapers, and I'm sure you'll continue to sell a lot more. John, where are you at with all this, man?
Hey, I'm comfortable with it, and you know, like I said, you know, if Bobby needs a hand with something, and you know, I'll try to help as much as possible, and you know, and I can give him advice, and he can run with it. And are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh yeah, we're here.
I guess my phone's beeping for some stupid reason, but you know, like I said, I'm there to help anybody I can, and really will help people and as best I can, and you know, I only can lead them to the water. I can't make them drink it, but hopefully they'll understand and then figure it out from there.
Would you have thought a year ago to this very day that Bobby Deal would be calling you up and asking you for advice?
You know, it's like from the greatest promoters to the guys that, you know, just got racetracks. I've gotten a lot of surprises from, you know, hey, what do you think about this, and what do you think about that? And I'm pretty honored when people ask me these different things, and then they think about it, and then they do what they need to do for themselves.
And sometimes it's what the suggestion is, and sometimes it's a modification, you know. But, I mean, it's being a racetrack owner is like belonging to a fraternity as much as just being in one division, you know, and the camaraderie and stuff.
You know,
working together is the only way to survive. And make no mistake about it, it's a business.
Exactly.
All right.
You have to always remember.
That's the thing that a lot of people forget in, you know, what some people like to call this industry or whatever. is that you guys are trying to run a business. You guys are trying to support your families. And, you know, what all, some of these people are thinking, it goes beyond me, is how they want to just, I want you guys to just give everything away.
Well, they think it's just right. They think it's just a hobby. Yeah, it's a hobby for them, but it's a business for us. And for us to stay open and be successful, you know, we have to do certain things. And I know a lot of people don't like it sometimes, but you know what? You just got to roll with the flow and roll with the punches and just go with it and do the best you can. And that's the way you got to do things. You can't listen to 150 different ideas because it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I'm sure you concur, Bobby.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. You know, I mean, all the way back to the very beginning when Rick Day, you know, started telling me about Touring Series and working with Don Arone, and you know, at this point in time, I mean, I can remember when I never wanted a racetrack. I had a phenomenal Touring Series that we're going to take worldwide. You know, but reality can come up and slap you in the face, but now having a racetrack, I'm really enjoying it. And one of the main things we want to make sure is we can be able to keep it for all those people that like to race out there, because without the racetrack, there is nothing touring.
Correct.
No doubt.
And you got to remember, it's funny because Bobby called me last week and he said, hey, listen, we got to do something. I got a great idea. So what's the idea? And he says, well, you know, I want to get some of your bombers. You want some of my bombers. Why don't we do something together and try to make it work? And I says, well, tell me what you want to do, and if I can do it, I'll do it. And that's exactly what we're going to do next week.
What's that?
Exactly. Yeah. We took it. I said, you know, to John, listen, we sit down on Tuesday mornings to kind of go over our scheduling and our media days Tuesday of all of our advertising and stuff like that. So, you know, we're going to do our schedule. If we can work it out, I'll call you and see when we'd like to run the bombers this week. And if you could put them at the end of your show, if we do the beginning, that way our guys can go from here right up to DeSoto.
Wow.
The fans win, the racers win, and you know what? The promoters win too.
Now that's working together.
Pretty cool, man.
We're going to try it and see what happens. You know, if we get one or two cars, or if he gets one or two cars, whatever happens, at least, you know, we can say, hey, we tried that. You guys wanted us to try something like that? We tried it, and we're going to make it and see if it'll work.
You know, it's like the same thing with working with the late models and the super late. Hey, my fans down here absolutely love super late and love late models. At DeSoto, same thing. At Auburndale, same thing. Sisters. But I need to worry about what's happening at DeSoto's, because I don't want to have an issue, because we never want to fight each other. It's like the school buses. I told John, I just don't feel comfortable. I can't figure out how to run them, so take them all, you know. And that'll be the school bus deal, you know what I mean? And you know, but the late models, if we stay off each of our dates, there's plenty of them around.
There you go.
And if everybody in the other tracks all work together in their little entities, we could have super big races at everybody's track every once in a while.
And but you know, it's going to happen once in a while that, you know, like all, like this weekend here, it happened right here. They were at Lakeland, and I ran limited tier. I had 13 or 14 cars. They had 26. But that's Lakeland, and there's nothing I could do about it. And, you know, if that's what they got to do, that's what they got to do. There's no hard feelings. I mean,
yeah,
you know, whatever you got to do, whatever you got to do. It's like Bobby called me last week and said, hey, you know, I got rained down. I was going to run my late models. What do you think? I said, if that's what you need to do, then do it. If you know. And then he called me back a half an hour later, and he says, you know, I really don't want to do that. And I said, well, that's up to you. If you don't want to do it, then fine. I mean, I really don't care, but, I mean, you know, if that's what you have to do to make it up, then do it.
Well, and saying you really don't care in not a negative way, that I don't care what you're doing, no. But, you know, the way John said was, you got to do what you got to do. And I don't care. I understand if that's what you got to do. And I said, nah, you know what? I don't need to take a few away from you. I don't need to take a few from Lakeland. We don't need the racers to have to choose three places to go. So I'll step back.
I don't even know how that happened, how I missed that on a schedule. I honestly missed it that I don't know how that happened, unless they rescheduled it, or I don't know.
I don't remember seeing it.
Well,
it's
good. It's good. This is certainly a different conversation we had a year ago, and it's I'm sure all the fans and drivers around the state are happy about it, and it's way cool.
Oh, hey, see, it all starts with theme music.
There you go.
It all starts with theme music.
All right, guys.
We got to go out to the Bonneville Salt Flats and talk to Valerie Thompson. Really appreciate you spending a few minutes. John, you can get back to the pool, and Bobby, get to bed.
Okay, guys. Whatever you do, go to a race near you.
All right. See ya.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners, drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries, XX Power batteries for racing applications, and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries, XX Power batteries for racing applications, and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
All right, we're back at Real Racing USA live on Tuesday night. And, Rick, that's pretty wild, man. We're going to make an extreme jump here. We're going from two promoters in South Florida to Valerie Thompson out at the Bonneville Salt Flats. Valerie, welcome to Real Racing USA.
Hi, thank you.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Cool. Did you go out and make some runs today?
Yes, we were able to make one pass, and we are waiting to make our second pass to back up a new land speed record, and the rain and the wind... we were not able to make our second pass, but we're going to be able to do that first thing tomorrow morning if the weather permits.
So what kind of mile per hour are you going for?
Well, we were going for 200, and today when I made one run, I went 151.877, and that's without the nitrous bottle. I'm just kind of getting a little bit more comfortable with the bike still because I've only rode it twice.
And how far do you actually go from start to finish?
I'm on a 5-mile course, and we have 2 miles to catch up to speed, and 1 mile they clock me, and then 2 miles to slow down.
2 miles to slow down.
For tomorrow, we're trying to get on the bigger course, and if we can get onto the 8-mile course and go a little bit longer.
I mean, that's out there where they do rocket sleds and all that, isn't it? They do some wild things out there. I know I've seen on some Discovery type channel shows and whatnot. But so you were hampered a bit by the rain. I guess it's got to be pretty good, pretty not only dry, obviously, but you can't have too much wind going on.
No, actually, there's a wind limit about 10 miles per hour. If it's over that, then they don't normally let us run.
So how many times have you done this Bonneville deal?
This is my third year.
Third year?
And
and it's all been all Harleys?
Yep, uh-huh. I've been on a Harley-Davidson every single time.
Wow. And you know, a few years back, I remember seeing something, I think it was on Discovery Channel or something, about the condition of Bonneville, how it was deteriorating. Has it gotten any better out there?
Well, last year they said that it was the best speed that they, or not the speed, they said it was the best salt that they've ever had, and that this year it's not looking so good, but it's manageable and it's runnable, so you know, here we are.
So how did you get...
in the hands of the weather, man.
Yeah. How did you progress from the drag strip to Bonneville?
Well, I was asked by my sponsor, Legend Air Ride Suspension. They were my very first sponsor in my whole drag racing career. And he wanted me to ride his bike, and I said yes. And then when I got a little closer to that time, I was a little bit afraid.
Yeah, that's a whole different world out there, isn't it?
It really is, yes. And you think of the salt flats. I mean, you can't imagine what it's like out there. And it just reminds me of snow, hard-packed snow, but it's really salt.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And you can, like, see forever, huh? I mean, is it like real?
We have 15 miles of land that we're using.
Uh-huh.
And they've, groomed the track. There's two tracks that we have. Actually, there's three tracks. There's the Run What You Brung, and then we have the short 5-mile course, and then we have the 10-mile course. But since the salt isn't that good this year, they've only knocked it down to 8 miles.
Now, when you're on that salt flat, the difference between that and a drag strip, I mean, a drag strip, you're between, you know, two walls and you're going down two lanes. How do you keep your sense of direction? Is it marked off for you?
It's marked off. You have a big, there is a wide track for us. But when I was going, 150 miles per hour, I kind of lost sense of where I really was. Am I in the middle? Am I off to the right? Because, this time here is the middle is softer, and everybody says stay to the right or stay to the left. So when I was in, my mile clock, timing, it was like, am I in the center? Am I on the am I on to the right?
Now, what kind of mile per hour do you turn in the quarter mile?
My best time that I've ever done was 9.16 at 146 miles per hour.
Well, that's getting it in a short time.
And I just did that in Woodburn, so that was a great feeling to come into the salt flats, having the best time that I've ever had. Come into the salt flats, having a just, feeling good about that run.
And I see as of August 30th, you're 3 points out of first place in the drag racing?
I am. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, now, speaking of that, I tell you what, Valerie, we have somebody that we definitely want to hook up with you here, somebody you know, Stevie Latem. And he definitely wants to talk to you. So what we're going to do is we're going to take about a 30-second little break here. I'm going to get him on the line with you at the same time.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
All right, so hang on, and we'll be right back with you.
All right.
Well, you know what? It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners. Drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. view, and shop online right from your race shop. SportCityRacing.com. That's SportCityRacing.com.
All right, Rick, we're back. I think we did a little magic here and hooked up Stevie LeTemp, the voice of the All Harley Drag Racing Association, along with Valerie Thompson, who's out at the Bonneville Salt Flats. Can y'all hear us okay?
Good.
All right. So, Stevie, what do you think, man? Is this exciting for this young lady or what?
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, I was listening to it on the air, you know, before I came on here, and Valerie, I know this is now the fastest you have ever gone. And, of course, with the drag bike, you're flat flying. You're accelerating in 1,320 feet. So it's got to be a different feeling, I would imagine, on the G-force and the pull. Explain to me just when you get on your bike, and do you start off real slow, or do you guys throttle up right away, or just how do you go about driving this bike on the salt flats?
Well, when you first take off, you have to be real careful because what can happen is you spin the tire, and when you spin the tire, it makes the bike go, you know, side to side, and so you just kind of ease into the gas, and when I feel comfortable enough, I just give it some more, and you know, go about that way.
So, you really do take a good mile or mile and a half, or how much time do you take to actually get up to the point where you cross into that 1 mile run zone?
We have 2 miles to get up to speed.
2 miles to get up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
That
so
is
I'm technically about. Oh, it is.
Well, when you get up to speed, when you go into that, don't you have like isn't it a 1 mile area there where, before they clock you or something? Can you see those clocks coming at you, or how does that look? Because I've never been there, and I think most people talking with haven't either.
Right. Well, what they have is they have flags, and at your mile marker, like 5 and 6, is when you're have to be up to your speed.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know what number you have to be at full speed for the 1 mile clock. They clock you at mile per hour.
Well, curious, Valerie, do you have communication with your crew chief when you're out there going down the stretch?
No, I don't.
So once you climb on it, it's just you and your bike?
Yep, me and my bike and all the salt. all I look forward to is just the last leg so I can let off the throttle slowly.
Another thing, it's one thing to accelerate, but is there a handling problem whenever you do start to back off? Because you're not running on asphalt or concrete now. This is salt, and it's got to be a whole different feel to you.
Uh-huh.
How fast do you back off real quick, or is it a very slow deceleration?
It's a very slow process. You just slowly release the throttle. My first pass that I made yesterday, I did 143 and some change. I was thinking I was at the drag race strip, and at the end of the flag, I quickly let off. Well, I quickly remembered not to do that. Time I let off slowly. Actually, I couldn't let off on the throttle. The grips they're a little bit big for my hands, and I was just kind of trying to roll off just a little bit, just because I remembered what I did the first time.
Now, you know, you mentioned that this was only, you know, the third pass you've ever made on this bike. So you basically jumped on this bike. It wasn't fitted for you. Have you had any problems as far as being comfortable on it? Because you've got to be comfortable to, you know, to handle a bike at these speeds. Is there
right.
any kind of problems
well,
with
this,
it?
Well, this bike was fitted for me. But when it turned out to be really long. So I'm having a difficult time to feeling comfortable on the bike, and my handlebars are real low, and so I'm actually stretched out even farther, like the top fuel bikes run.
Mm-hmm.
I am like totally stretched out. My feet, there's a little bit of bend in my knee, but there's not much. And in order for me to shift, there's a shifter back there, and so it's, and the handlebars are so different from my drag bike that it's a night and day difference. So this bike is a night and day difference between my drag bike.
Valerie, are there other people out there competing in the same like class of bike, trying to better what you're doing, or is there a competitive thing about this?
Well, yeah, there is. I mean, in all classes that are out here, I don't know who else is in, if anybody else is in my class. I'm not too sure. There's a couple hundred people out there, and we're not in group order or anything. It's just random. We're just in the pit.
Well, Valerie, I heard that you said that you guys had weather out there. So rain came in today. Just what happened that it canceled you from getting that second shot at the surface?
At the return pass? Well, when I was up there getting ready to take off, I mean, if you look behind you, you saw just the clouds, and you could see the cloud buildup, and there was lightning out there, but it was so far away, and we knew it was coming, so they were like, we better get going. So I was the second to the last bike to run before they shut down the whole event for today. And if the weather would have got better, and if it would have just cleared up and rained like it does in Arizona for, 10-15 minutes, and then it cleared right back up, we could have been back out there this afternoon. It closed everything down about 1:45 this afternoon.
Well,
but we get a chance out of it. We get a chance at it first thing tomorrow in the morning, but they're calling for 60% rain.
Oh, my. Curiosity, does that salt drain like sand does, or how does weather, affect that track surface?
No, I don't know how the water gets. I think it just absorbs and it just dries out. The salt is dry.
Is it very warm out there?
It's hot. It's very hot. The sun is out. The sun is so bright. And if anybody's been skiing, at the mountains, and when it's in the summertime, when you're skiing in the summertime, the white reflection just hits your face, and it just totally blinds you.
So do you got to use, like, a lot of, like, sunglasses or whatever when you're running that thing?
I don't use sunglasses when I got my helmet on. I just...
Your tinted visor, whatever? Do you have to, like, put extra
tint? I have a tinted visor, but I'm not using it. I have a brand new helmet that I'm using this time, and I'm afraid to switch out my clear to my dark shield one.
Shifting.
But I didn't have any problems with it, and I adapted quite well, and it feels real good.
Shifting gears real quick, how much has your life changed since the GoDaddy sponsorship?
Oh, boy, the GoDaddy sponsorship's been fabulous, and, they're a great sponsor, and I'm hoping that they'll be with me next year and go with me next year to the NHRA and ride a pro stock deal. And so,
now
don't want to be the GoDaddy girl.
There you go. Now, the my favorite part of that commercial, that video, is when you and Paul Tuttle Sr. are sitting side by side comparing how you ride your Harleys.
Yeah.
Was that cool?
I write mine stretch.
That was so cool.
And you can get that on her website?
Yeah. I believe that's on your website, right?
It sure is.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So what was it like meeting Danica Patrick and all them?
Oh, it was awesome. She's down to earth, and, I had good conversation with her, and we didn't talk about racing or anything. It was just kind of, what we were doing, and we were all having fun, and she looked like she was having fun, and
y'all didn't make jokes about golfer girls, huh?
What's that?
You didn't make any jokes about golf girls, right? Girls who play golf, ladies who play golf,
No, huh?
Y'all do some pretty tough stuff. I mean, you're not going to get me going 140 miles an hour on a motorcycle.
There ain't no way. There's no way.
I would pay to see that.
Yeah.
A lot of people would.
I would pay myself to watch, too.
Well, let me ask you, videotaping
me, but, I'm sure there's people out here videotaping, but I'm not sure who they are, so if anybody gets me on videotape, get a hold of me, please.
Well, Corey, let me stay kind of on the topic, leaving the Salt Flats now, and we're going back to the drag strip. You had a pretty successful weekend, August 25th and 26th, up at Woodburn Drag Strip in Woodburn, Oregon, at the Salem Harley-Davidson Northwest Nationals. Tell us just a little bit about the race there. You were up into the runner-up position. Almost took that baby home, not quite, but still a great race.
I did. I did all I could, and all what the bike gave the bike all what it had, and it was a good pass. It just wasn't good enough to get the win light. So I'm really more excited about, even though I did lose, which is sad. But what I'm really more excited about is that I cut a great light, and I got a good 60-foot time on him, and I thought that I was going to have it right mid track, and then all of a sudden his bike just started creeping up on me, and
that
was that.
He didn't get a hole
shot.
And I will say him. We're speaking about Ellie Tonglet, who has been literally just about invincible this year, and almost took it away from him. You got that hole shot on him, and actually you turned a better mile per hour on the top end, but you were about 5.5 pennies, just a few hundredths, from taking that baby and putting it in the bank. It was oh so close. So it looked like an excellent run, and you had to be really pleased with the way the bike performed. And you sure did your job.
I did, and I was really on top of my game. I was really, really focused, and these past few races I hadn't been that focused, especially on the tree, and I know I needed to go to bed early and get some good rest and eat good, drink lots of water, and I just really put my mind to doing all those steps, and it worked, and I'm going to do it again.
All right, so tomorrow now is, you have how many more days out there?
Drag racing school techniques out at the Woodburn race, and wish I would have took them out a long time ago.
Very good.
Yeah, Valerie, how many more days do you have out there at the Salt Flats?
Well, we have until Thursday afternoon.
Okay.
And, the weather's not looking good for Thursday, and the weather's looking 60% rain on Wednesday. I don't know if they would extend it or not. It's a once annual event, so.
Right.
I'm not sure if they rented out the Salt Flats for a couple extra days.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, we'll stay on top of it, because if you... whatever you end up with, we definitely want to make sure the news gets out about it.
Right.
On our end, anyway.
I'd like to say, thanks to Keith Ball at BikerNet.com, and he's the gentleman that spent all of his, 1 year worth of, coming to this point, and, he's did well for my career and continues to do well for my career, and we work great together, and he's come up with a great team this year, and Nyla, she's his right hand man, whatever you say, and she's the one that feeds us, and everybody's just doing a great job.
All right,
what's your website real quick, Valerie?
ValerieThompsonRacing.com, or it's vtracegirl.com.
All right,
Valerie. We really enjoyed talking to you, and good luck.
Well, cool. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks a lot for spending some time with us. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Valerie.
And Stevie, we're going to come back to you at about 8:30 Eastern time with, I think we're going to talk to Will Simplot and Sonny Burris tonight, who are pro drag racers. Riders.
Absolutely, and these two guys butt heads. They're out there on the West Coast. It should be... Should be some interesting trash talk.
Stevie, did you just call them buttheads?
No.
they butt heads.
They butt heads. Okay.
Okay, we'll talk to you in a little bit.
Listen, these boys are too big for an old man like me to ever call them a butthead.
There you go, brother.
There you go.
Smartest guy in the world, but boy, I ain't stupid.
we'll talk to you soon, Stevie.
Gentlemen.
All right.
Imagine that.
Wow. Fast women.
I'm telling you. Okay, man, you know what? We got to move right along here, because we got to go to Martinsville.
Martinsville.
Up there in the mountains or somewhere.
product like brakes. There is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion: to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
PowerMaster is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power Batteries. PowerMaster is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power Batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power Batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. PowerMaster also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners. Drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
This is Real Racing USA Live, Tuesday night's edition of Real Racing USA, news, entertainment, and all kinds of other craziness. And we got really crazy here now, Rick. We had to go all the way up to North Carolina, dig around in some bar up there. We found this guy hanging out. He's hanging out in a bar. His name's Skip Wall. Skip, we got to get you out of them bars, man.
Well, when you're old, it's kind of tough to get you out of there.
So, man, how was Mad Martinsville and the 300 modified deal up there? I know you love them Whalen modifieds.
Guys, I'm going to tell you what. Clay Campbell, what a class act up there in Martinsville. They put on a fine show. They take the best of the northern Whalen modifieds versus the southern modifieds. They put them all together on a one-year show. They run a 300-lap race Saturday night in March. Well, they bring out the special lights to run a night race, and just what a world of fireworks it was, and what a good race it was.
Skip, how many cars do they start in that race?
They started 43 cars. I think they had 57 entries.
Man. That's wild. And what was the difference in times, like from first to the last qualifier? Were they really close?
That I can't answer because I did not see the sheet. I was having computer problems.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know what he was doing, Rick.
Get that.
You know what he was doing?
Calling the bar?
No, see, Skip broke, had his camera lost. He lost. Remember his camera he got years ago from Oliver Pio Quinto?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, well, his camera turns up missing. Now, that's a whole other story.
Oh.
So he's got to go to this big race, the biggest deal, one of the biggest deals for him of the year. Right, Skip?
That's right.
And so he had to go buy himself fancy new camera, new Nikon. So he's up there trying to fool around fixing his camera right. That's what he was doing.
It's all new beast, and then you try to get it going, and then when you get it going, then you go up in the media center, and then your computer doesn't work.
That's going to suck.
So why you like them modified so much?
Well, because it's the most horsepower in NASCAR. I mean, you're talking 600 horsepower. And then the competitiveness in which they do and the way they dart around. I mean, you can do bump and runs in a half-mile track, and it's just as exciting or better than Nextel Cup, in my opinion.
It's got to be awesome on that flat Martinsville track, too.
It's just, you know, these guys from up north, they're dead serious about this. And they've always dominated Martinsville. But on this particular race, two Southern cars finished in the top five in three out of six.
Dang.
So this shows that the South is getting much better. And
the South being North Carolina and Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
I got you. Okay.
So, the guy that wins the race, which is Donnie Leo, he's doing his real job on Friday night. He runs a Honda dealership up in New York. He gets on an airplane Saturday morning, and he just comes down here to Virginia Racetrack, and he runs a 300-lap race, and he wins it.
Rick, are these the same guys that come? Christopher was in this, right?
Ted Christopher,
yeah. So these are the same guys that come down in New Smyrna.
Yeah,
the World Series of Basketball.
They run a couple
right.
races.
Donnie Leo won the, I think they call it a fast car or something.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Part of the World Series thing. New
World Series
yeah,
of Basketball,
I thought
yeah.
I heard that name down here before. So
and
when,
I'm
go ahead.
I'm sure you've heard of Ted Christopher.
Well, yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He finished the second.
Yeah, John Birdie never lets us forget Ted Christopher. But when you go in.
Never can get him on for an interview, though.
I'm telling you. So we've been busting him for 2 years to get a hold of Ted Christopher. We ought to just do it ourselves. But so when these guys are going through the corners, like what Rick was talking about, like when they go into the corners at Martinsville, are they doing like a lot of pushing and shoving and rooting around or what?
Rooting and gouging.
Yeah.
And it's just like in the post-race interview with Christopher. He doesn't give nobody a break. When he comes to race, he comes to race win.
Absolutely.
And L.W. Miller and James Savali got into it, and L.W. just says you got to do what you got to do. I mean, that's just racing when you rub. And James Savali gets caught on the short end, and he gets taken out on the last lap.
Wow.
Now, we have some photographs that are going to be up here real soon on, like in the next day or two on your website?
Yes, Jack. We was able to get this camera going, and between, you know, I took in the Southern Modified race yesterday in Burlington, North Carolina, and between the two races, I come up with 520 pictures.
Is that an Ace Speedway?
Ace Speedway.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Cool. So you'll have those up on your new website, Southern Motor Racing?
That's correct. Uh-huh.
All right. Cool.
Yeah, take a look at that. It looks
pretty
cool.
Let me quickly give you the rundown of Ace Speedway yesterday.
Sure.
Tim Brown takes to win. L.W. Miller finishes second. Brian Lofton comes home third. Burt Myers in a controversial finish comes into fourth place, and Woody Pitcat was fifth. Burt Myers and L.W. Miller tangled on the very last lap coming off the fourth turn. Burt Myers comes up on the short end of the stick, but he comes into victory lane and gets into a very tough shouting match with L.W. Miller, and he had to be restrained by the NASCAR officials. And
did you have your recorder going?
No, I didn't have the recorder going at the time, but I sure had the camera going.
There you go. All right.
Straight look.
One thing about the...
You know, that's just racing, and these cars are just so powerful, and it's just so hard to... To get around someone clean, you just have to race them hard and wait for them to make a mistake, or you just have to root them.
Yeah, now, Rick, yesterday I talked to Skip on the phone. We were talking about why he was – Skip, tell us about that little conversation you were having up there with about why Bowman Gray has so many people come there, and what you said your answer for it is.
Well, I can't say what the actual answer was because it would be appropriate, but I was told it was because of the heritage of what they go by every year that it's made a name for itself all along.
Well, that ain't what you said.
Well,
didn't you say something about WWF?
WWF wrestling. That's what it really comes from. They let you get by with it.
They go out there and beat and bang on each other and carry on, and that helps bring the fans in. Is that what you say?
Absolutely. I mean, there's been several races even on the last night. You know, these people banging each other like it's a demolition derby. They start at the start finish line and they just put it in reverse and it's back all over the top of someone. And then
during the race.
Well, this is during a red flag period.
Oh, my God.
Then you get these people like that bonehead down in Florida, Jack Smith. He's always a do-gooder trying to get these guys to work together and wear their safety equipment and all that. I agree with you, man. I think more and more I think that as long as, you know, nobody gets seriously hurt, I mean, it does. It's what brings fans out.
Well, another thing is, you know, they got this little John Deere scooter in the infield, and they just put a policeman in it, and they send him out there to break them up, or they usually just get escorted right on out the track and right on out the fence.
There you go, man.
And then the fans just absolutely love it.
You know, stepping.
Maybe let me say too, Jack. They had an incident in 2005 that just finally made it to court last week. A very popular modified driver went to the aid of his younger brother that raced in a smaller division, and a big fight broke out, and over 30 bones on this one guy got broke, and it took him 2 years to go to court, and a very popular modified driver, Rupert Spink, was convicted in Superior Court last week. He's got to serve 29 days in jail. He got a $20,000 fine, and now the civilian starts.
Yeah.
So it really gets out of hand sometimes, and that result there really shows it because this one driver was badly injured.
You know, going back to that Martinsville race, Skip, this is the first week back for Jimmy Blewett, wasn't it?
His brother, yes, it was. And
Jimmy.
He ran into misfortune very early in the race and fell out. In fact, he finished last place. And on that same note, too, Donnie Leah, the race winner, broke down in victory lane because it just set into him that, you know, about the Blewett tragedy up north. And it was very emotional. I got a picture of it. And he took time, and it just really sunk into him in victory lane. He dedicated the race to the Blewett family, and, you know, that the racing has to go on, and that's a strong family, and their whole family's in the racing, and the show has to go on.
Yeah, that sent shockwaves all the way down here to Florida.
And it's a sad situation because, I mean, that's a really good family there. And the whole racing community, you know, it's like one big traveling family, and you know, a lot of people, their hearts are saddened over this tragedy.
No doubt. Skip, now tell us a little bit about this website you got coming, that's coming out now.
Well, we got the Southern Motor Racing. It's a site that we can carry, that can cover the late models, the modifieds, the Southern modifieds, the ASA. And we can go with the local tracks up here in North and South Carolina. It's something I've been wanting to do for a long time, and to give these other tracks in this area some more coverage, and to give the drivers a lot more coverage as well. And we feel like that we can do a good job at it and give a lot of people a lot of exposure and kind of do things in a different way. And, you know, there's never too much exposure in these divisions.
No doubt. We can use all the exposure we need. And you also got the photo gallery up there. I was looking at it. It's got Bowman Gray stuff, the Wheeling modifieds, lots of cool stuff on that photo gallery already.
Oh, he already got them pictures up there. I didn't know that. He's been working. Look at this.
We still got a bunch to put on. And,
yeah, okay. You just
started. We still got a lot of work to do, but we're going to get this thing going. And, you know, the best thing, guys, is we feel appreciated. These people appreciate you coming and giving them good coverage. You know, let me tell you a little story. Saturday night at Martinsville, you know, the race doesn't get over with until after midnight, and it's after 1 o'clock. I'm packed up and ready to go home. Well, I missed a shuttle going out. They give you shuttle service out to your car, and here I am toting the laptop going out through the parking lot, and I get a golf cart comes up beside me and says, "Where are you headed?" I tell him, "I'm headed to the media lot." He says, "Hop on." So I hop on and I take a double take. Here is the track promoter, Clay Campbell himself, coming helping people out to their cars. You know, he and I sit there and talk racing. You know, that's a genuine class act. He's got the race promoter himself that's helping you with different things, and he gets involved. He's no better than the man that sweeps the floor.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty cool.
I off Marshall Speedway.
That's pretty cool. I remember, Rick, we had Clay Campbell on our show.
Right.
About a year and a half ago, a couple of years, sometime in the last couple of years. And he was a very, very, very class gentleman. Ain't no doubt about it. That's cool, man. So,
I got to meet Jason Priestley. He's a PR guy for NASCAR. He's more than happy to help us out and getting this website going and going to get on his list of a bunch of press releases. And, you know, looking forward to getting this thing rolling and getting it going and, you know, put the word out on racing in general. And
look at them pile-ups, man.
Fun with it.
We're looking at your pictures you took. You got a bunch of good wrecks, man.
Yeah, from Bowman Gray.
Yeah, from Bowman Gray. we're looking at the Bowman Gray wrecks.
Listen, guys, if you don't do anything else next year, you need to take in a race at Bowman Gray.
I know.
Do they still play football there?
Yes, they do. The Winston-Salem State football has their home games there. They just remodeled the infield to build a $2 million field house.
What college?
Winston-Salem State.
You know what? They need to get Michigan on their schedule.
And just remember, the team that beat them is right here in North Carolina.
I know.
There you go.
I know.
Man.
I love it.
Appalachian State.
I love it. This is pretty cool. All right, Skip, listen, man, we're going to have to run because we got to go up to West Virginia and talk to Eddie Carrier Jr., who won the Hillbilly 100 up there. And
guys, I appreciate you having me on the show and look forward to do some more shows with you.
All right, man. See you.
Take care.
All right, take it easy.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, that Bowman Gray Stadium, the first time I saw an aerial shot of it, I said, "That's a damn football field."
Oh, boy.
There's a football field in the middle of that racetrack.
Sure.
That's like the old days.
Yeah, 16 weeks a year they run there.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go quick break. Come back with Eddie Carrier, huh?
All right.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater.
Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater.
Ignoring all you know about pigs and where they live and what they step in, you look at their pickled paws and say, "Yummy."
Look and taste it.
Craving only the most daring meal, you pass up the cow tongue, skate by the head cheese, dismiss the Rocky Mountain oysters. But a pig's foot soaked in pickle juice, now that's good eating.
Save me a big one.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater, because it takes guts to eat those feet.
Thank you, Mr. Pickled Pig's Feet Eater.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Way down yonder in the bio country in dear old Louisiana, that's where lives my Cajun baby, the fairest one in the land. Her teeth are white and pearly, hair black as coal. Wouldn't trade my Cajun baby.
Like Brakes.
There is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
Yeah, the Brakeman. The Brakeman's going to be with us here not too long.
Right now, we're with the Salt Rock Express himself, the winner of the Hillbilly 100, Eddie Carrier Jr. Eddie, how you doing tonight, brother?
Well, we're just here at the shop, just preparing, getting everything ready for the World this weekend.
The World 100's this weekend, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the big one right there, isn't it?
Yep.
How many times have you raced that?
I think I've been there... My first time there was in 96, and I think I missed like 1 year after that, so 10 years, 9, 10 years.
So now you started racing in 1990 in the open wheel division. Your late model career started in 96. What's your best win so far?
The Hillbilly 100.
Yeah, no doubt. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, that race right there, I mean, I'm looking at the names of the guys, Donnie Moran, Earl Pearson Jr., Freddie Smith. What a field of cars right there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Hillbilly 100 is one of the crown jewels of dirt racing. You know, you got the Dream, you got the World, you got the Dirt Track World Championship, and you got the Hillbilly. I mean, that race and them three was some of the four original crown jewels, but, you know, before we had the Knoxville Nationals and all that stuff come in.
Where is Middleborn? Where is that?
Middleborn?
Yeah. Where is that?
Where is that, Eddie?
It's up around. It's probably about 45 minutes from Parkersburg, West Virginia.
Okay, that's up north. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And where do you live there?
I'm around the Huntington area.
Oh, okay, down around Hurricane.
Yeah.
There you go.
So yeah, what got you going in the dirt late models, Eddie?
Well, I mean It's always been in our family. I mean, my grandpa, he never drove cars, but he always owned cars back in the, you know, back in the coupe days, back in the 50s and 60s and stuff like that. And then, you know, my dad drove, and then, you know, it's just in our blood.
Now, is your whole family as big as you? I mean, most of the race car drivers these days are little bitty fellas that, you know, that don't carry any weight in the car. You're 6'4", 240 pounds.
Yep.
That's a big fella.
The rest of my family, I got a cousin that races, Bobby Carrier Jr. He's probably 6'2", and he's the only other one that still drives. My uncle used to drive, Bobby Carrier Sr., and then, you know, my dad drove, too, and, you know, they ain't as big as I am.
So what'd you do with this race? I mean, obviously this is one of the big ones, so you really wanted to win it. How do you prepare for a big race like this? How did you prepare in this instance?
We take every race with the same attitude. I mean, we prepare our cars no matter if we're going and running for $3,000, you know, we prepare the same. I mean, when we leave the shop, we're going to win the race, and we prepare to win every week in and week out, you know, no matter what it pays. I mean, we look at every race. You know, I know you look at some of these races as, you know, like the Hillbilly and the World as special events, and, you know, you might think, you know, some of us might prepare a little different, but your top teams prepare for each race the same. You know, they prepare just as hard for a 10,000 as they do a 20 or 25, and, you know, that's what brings them teams to the top, because they prepare every week like that.
Yeah. Now, how many races a year do you run?
Well, I think this year we're going on, I think about 60 or 65 is what we're close to right now. So we'll probably end up running 70 to 80 shows this year.
Yeah, we had Earl Pearson on one of our shows last night with a different cast. And they were the hosts of that show were shocked when he told them how many races a year he runs, and you do obviously the same deal.
Yeah.
Now, does your racing start down here in Florida in like January, February?
Yeah, we started at East Bay this year, and we raced the whole week at East Bay, and then we went to Volusia and raced that whole week, and then we come home, and I think we had about a month off before we had to go back out because we was running the World Outlaws deal at that time, and we went to Louisiana. I think it was like the end of March or something like that.
I got to ask you, what's the buzz like when it's coming up to East Bay time? I mean, does everybody talk about it up there?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have many. I mean, there's dirt teams around here, but not many that travel. I mean, we got Steve Francis. He's probably about 45 minutes from my shop. But, you know, you always got the guys that come in and, you know, kind of keep up with you. And, you know, we don't have much off-season anymore, and you know, we start in February and usually race till November, so we got 2.5-3 months to do a winter's work to get ready for a whole season.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now, I got to ask you another question. What makes Eldora so special to all the dirt racers?
I think it's just the prestige, and you know, we don't get to race in front of a big crowd like that too many places we go, because you know, they just don't have the capacity, you know, they don't have the seating capacity to hold the people.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's the prestige of it too, you know.
Yeah, they definitely got some prestige there, especially with the World 100. How many cars usually show up for that?
Usually over 200.
That's some serious racing.
Man,
right there.
That's dead serious.
Now, how many days is that?
It's just Friday and Saturday. Friday, all that takes on it, all that happens on Friday is just qualifying. Two rounds of qualification. You know, you draw a number for the first round and you draw a number for the second round. You go out in the first round, take one lap, come in, everybody qualifies, and you go back out and take your second lap. And that's all that happens on Friday. And then they just take the fastest 120 go into six heat races. And then the rest, they'll usually have a couple of non-qualifiers races for them guys on Friday. And then that's usually all that happens on Friday.
Now, with that many cars out there, what position in the qualifying order would you rather be in?
I mean, you know, some people get tore up about drawing this or drawing that. But, I mean, at Eldora, if you're fast, you're going to be fast no matter when you go out.
So, like, you know, at East Bay, at the end of the night, I mean, that track's, you know, solid, almost like pavement. After 200 cars running across Eldora, is that the same situation?
Well, this year at the Dream, it was the same. They had the track hard starting right off, so it was no advantage as far as being early. And that's usually the best way that we can ask to have it at Eldora, is just have it hard from start to finish, and then that way there's no advantage of going out early or late.
Is Eldora a clay track?
Yeah.
It's a clay track, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's wild, man.
So they start the track out hard. Get back to qualifying a little bit. You know, 200 cars, is there any, do you change your setup according to where your position is in qualifying?
Yeah, we'll kind of, you know, watch the track and see what the track's doing, and then we'll try to make the adjustments we think needs to be made to make our car right for that. Then we usually go out in the first round, and then, you know, you might have, sometimes you've got time in between the first and second round that if you wasn't that good in the first, you got time to make some more adjustments that you think you might need to make.
Well, that's awesome, man. So coming off this big win at the Hillbilly 100, how do you feel going into the World 100?
You know, I feel confident. I mean, it's like, you know, some people might have thought we was kind of a dark horse at the Hillbilly, but, you know, it's like I said, when we leave Forever Show, you know, we're leaving to win, and, I mean, and we feel like we've got the team that, you know, we can win those races.
Well, I tell you, it's always one of the highlights of the racing year in Florida. You know, in Florida, it never stops. I mean, we race all year long here. And, I mean, there's racing on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day down here.
Right.
And East Bay Raceway, when you guys come in, is for most of our lot.
My favorite race.
Yeah, there's a lot of sprint car fans, but you know, for us, man, it's you guys come in the late models. That's what we look forward to. It's quite the show.
Yeah, we ought, you know, it's kind of a break for us to come down there from the cold and the snow. You know, when we come down there to 70 and 80 degree weather, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Yeah, and it comes down. You guys come down here to be out there, and it's 65 at night, and you're in your short sleeves, and we're like in jackets.
Yeah.
That's cool. Now, does your family, I mean, being on the road like this a lot, does your family travel with you much? Or?
Well, my dad is my crew chief.
Yeah.
And, you know, my wife gets to go a lot. I mean,
yeah.
You know, when we was running with the World Outlaws, there was, you know, like, we went to the Dream, and when we left the Dream, we didn't come home. We went out west, so we was gone 2 more weeks, and she didn't get to go on that trip. And, you know, that's kind of rough.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, but you got a good racing wife. You just had your 10th anniversary, right?
Yep.
Awesome job, brother.
There you go.
Have you ever been tempted to move from the dirt to asphalt?
No. I like the dirt, and I mean, I make a good living on the dirt. I pay my bills, and I'm happy where I'm at. And the politics in the asphalt's kind of a throw off for them.
That's something. Yeah, I mean,
it's amazing.
I work at an asphalt track, and that's something that I've seen, having done stuff at dirt tracks and asphalt tracks. The politics just isn't
as
thick
same.
At a dirt track as it is in an asphalt track.
Right.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So, Eddie, who's helping you out with this car?
My dad's my crew chief, and I got another crewman, Victor Kraft, and then, of course, my car owner's Carl Grover, and he's Grover Motorsports, and then his company is Engines Incorporated. It's a rail car division. They build, like, rail car parts and stuff for CSX and most of the major railroad companies.
The Salt Rock Express.
That's me.
Eddie Carrier Jr. That's cool, man. I really appreciate you spending some time with us tonight. It was we were just browsing around on our own website, looking at some of the news that just happened over the weekend, and I saw that. I said, we need to talk to this guy. And glad you made it and called us back, man. I appreciate
you having me.
All right. Well, I wish you all the luck at the World 100 this weekend, and if you win that bad boy, we'll talk to you again Tuesday night.
All right.
Got that right.
All right, brother.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Eddie.
All right.
Eddie Carrier Jr., all 6'4", 240 pounds.
That's a big dude. I bet he ain't been pushed around too
much. No. I mean, you know, they
can you see Steve Dorer chasing him around?
Yeah. Push him into the turn, and he jumps out of the car and heads to his car, and this 6'4" giant comes out to, okay, that's enough.
That's enough of that. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. We got another. It's time for a break, and we're going to come back with the Brake Man.
The Brake Man himself.
When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the Brake Man. The Brake Man has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brake Man are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion, to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, Short Track Asphalt, Short Track Dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today. 5starbodies.com.
At Port City Racing, it's about winning. From lug nuts to complete race cars and 12,000 parts in between. Whether you're new to racing or a seasoned veteran, you'll find what you need at Port City Racing. Since 1981, Port City Racing has been producing winners. Drag racing, circle track, and much more. You can now browse through our Port City Racing catalog on the web. View and shop online right from your race shop. PortCityRacing.com. That's PortCityRacing.com.
Oh, yeah. Music from Dan Toler.
How's Dan doing?
Dan's doing pretty good. He's doing good. He's out running around playing wild guitar like he always has. But I'll tell you, we got the brake man on with us, Warren Gilliland from out in California, I do believe, owner of the brake man. And I think we're going to learn a lot about brakes here. Welcome to the show, man, Real Racing USA.
Hi, thanks a lot for having me.
So you do brakes. I mean, you got brakes. we're just looking at your website right now as we came back from break, and tell us a little bit about your business.
Well, I've been designing brakes for about 40 years. Started back in 67 designing the first quick change calipers for Earhart, which became a division of Hurst Shifters back in the 60s, and along the lines of design brakes for everything from go-karts to Indy cars to the Bay Area Rapid Transit train in San Francisco, throw in a few Utopia cars at Disneyland and the parade floats, and you got a pretty good idea of what I've been doing.
How did you pick brakes, of all things?
Well, I was designing spool valves and solenoid valves for aircraft, and my dad had been a racer when I was young, and some job opening came up, and they wouldn't give me a raise at Ford Warner to, you know, being a 21-year-old kid, they wanted to get in poverty, and Frank Earhart was looking for somebody that could take his ideas and put it on paper, and found out that I'd been already designing valves, and he says, "You're hired, except you're going to work for me direct." So I got taken under the wing of one of the most intelligent, sharp guys in the brake industry back in the 60s, and now him and Bob Earhart are both watching me as I take it to the next level.
So what makes your brakes and your brake systems so special?
Well, I guess you could basically say that brake systems that are on the market right now are 1960s and 70s technology that have been made prettier and have had a little bling added, but our caliper is a total new concept and is patented for both fluid transfer and for strength and rigidity. A caliper basically has to do two things. It has to move fluid to apply pistons, and it's got to release. And so it takes the structural integrity of the caliper combined with fluid transfer inside to make that happen.
Now, there's one part of your website I was looking at, piston surface area. Tell us a little bit about that.
I got a deal on there. That's one of the big fallacies about brake systems is that I have a little comment on there about piston count doesn't count. Most people say, well, I want a 6-piston caliper or I want an 8-piston caliper. The more pistons you put in the caliper, the less clamping force you get from the caliper. And the most common design that is the most efficient at developing clamping force is a 4-piston caliper, both in terms of rigidity and, again, from a standpoint of surface area of the piston.
Now, one of the biggest killers of brakes in anything is heat. How do you deal with that?
Well, heat is usually caused by the fact that you apply the brake to slow the car, but then the caliper continues to apply the brake because aluminum caliper housings lose half of their strength at 300 degrees. So in a racing application, the caliper usually has achieved that temperature by about the third lap, and from then on, the caliper, because it's gotten weaker, is now flexing, and what it does is when you take your foot off the brake, is it still continues to drag because it's returning to its normal shape.
So that's what causes the heat and causes rotors to glow and all that.
Exactly. We've been on a dyno tested down at Tex Powell's shop at Tex Racing in North Carolina, and he did a dyno test against the best caliper generally regarded in the market right now, which is the Brembo monoblock, and we showed two very interesting things. With the same rotor, with the same pad, on the same dyno, with the only change being our caliper, with the same input pressure, we ran 20% cooler on the rotor temperatures and put out 10% more torque.
Well, that's a big difference. That's a big difference. Now, what kind of vehicles do you have your brakes on? Are you strictly calipers, or are you rotors and everything?
Well, we make rotors. We make special brake materials. We make our own brake fluid. We have a little of everything. And all of these elements go together into making a brake system. And any weakness in that entire system will cause a weakness in the entire system.
Now, I deal with auto parts on a daily basis. Tell me a little bit about brake fluid itself, because you know you've got your .2, .3, .4, .5 synthetics and all that.
Well, basically, all the dot number is it's the dot test. In other words, .3 is the third dot test. The .4 is the fourth dot test. .5 is the fifth dot test. And someday we're going to have a sixth dot test. So that's basically their numbering system. But the big difference in the brake fluids is the makeup of the brake fluid. We've had fluids ranging from ethylene glycol-based fluids to silicon-based fluids to borate ester-based fluids. And all of these fluids have applications in certain areas, but really overall, the fluids that we've chosen are fluids that are perfect for the application, have relatively slow moisture pickup, and bottom line is that we don't step on the brake fluid that much and try to make a big profit on it, because the brake fluid is really an underlying factor in how well the brake system works. So we're more interested in making sure that all of our customers can afford to put a quality brake fluid in their system.
Yeah, because one of the biggest failures in stock car racing, short track racing down here anyway, is brake fluid actually boiling in the system.
That's really not the cause of the problem. Remember I told you before that the caliper is flexing under pressure?
Right.
What's really happening is that since the caliper is getting bigger, the piston sense is trying to move towards the rotor, and the housing is moving away at the same time. That caliper requires twice as much fluid to fill the area behind the piston as our caliper does. When you put our caliper on, you won't have a quote-unquote brake fluid failure, because the problem is right now is that the master cylinders do not have the volume to fill up those pistons when that housing gets weak and starts flexing open.
So basically you don't have the hydraulic power to step on the brakes.
What we end up with is we're able to use a smaller master cylinder because we don't need as much volume, and by putting a smaller master cylinder on a car, for the same input effort, you increase the clamping force of the caliper.
So, that's very interesting. Now tell us a little bit about super brakes.
Oh, okay. The super brakes are replacement pads and rotors for performance vehicles and trucks, half-ton, three-quarter, and one-ton working trucks. The problem in that area is that when you load a truck up with 12 or 13,000 pounds, like often happens with either armor plating the vehicles or fire department ambulances, the loads create a lot more heat in the brake system, which causes premature failure of the pads and rotors. Well, since most companies have a problem with not being able to retrofit and put special calipers on because it voids factory warranties, I developed a way of taking our thermal process that we've developed in our rotors and adapting it to street rotors and putting on a higher performance pad with them now, so we get 5 times the life out of the rotors and a 30% improvement in stopping distances without interfering with any factory warranties or making it difficult to fit them on the car.
Awesome deal, man. That's really cool.
Warren, we now know why you're called the brake man.
I'm telling you.
I mean, I'm not the mechanic on this crew, Rick is, but I'm telling you, Yeah, obviously.
30 years as a mechanic, and I've learned a few things in just the short time we've talked.
Simple solutions to really simple problems. And the trouble of it is that racers, you know, it's interesting how when we talk about racers, how many, you know, dads and sons and now grandsons that I've worked with on this stuff. And one of the big things I've seen is that the racing community is all too willing to put up with a problem where the father will tell their son, shut up and just drive the car, son. The brakes are not going to be that good on the race car. And the kid learns and thinks that the brakes can't be that good because dad said so.
Right.
Wow. And now, do racers buy direct from you, or do you have distribution through other outlets?
We are always happy to help any racer. We figure that a big portion of our importance of our business is not just the product we sell, but making it be applied correctly. So we're always available for consultation. We do work with teams on factory support basis, but we do have a good dealer network, and we're working on developing a better dealer network, and we are always anxious to work with chassis builders, to work with strong distributors, to help make their staff capable of selling the product the right way and helping fill the customer's need.
Well, it's no doubt that Warren is the brake man. Of course, the website is thebrakeman.com. Also, you guys will be at the PRI show in Orlando this year.
Absolutely. We'll be in row, I think it's 4,500. And we're going to have a Highland Daytona Coupe in the show that's going to really make some people sit up and take notice.
All right.
Well, we're definitely going to come up there and see you, brother.
Pretty cool. That's part of our that's in our neighborhood, so to speak. And Warren, I really appreciate you taking some time to spend with us here. And this interview, we will have this and make this particular interview available broadly throughout the various parts of our website. So I'm sure that there'll be a lot of people listen to it as the weeks go by.
Well, we sure thank you, and we look forward to maybe doing it again for you.
Cool. All absolutely. Right.
Thanks a lot, Warren. Once again, thebrakeman.com. Warren Gillen, thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
Wow.
I'm glad you were here, man.
Wow, that's all I got to say about that.
I just sat back and shut up, man. Yeah. Are you
I had a
me?
Few people that I got to tell. You got to listen to this guy. That was the most informative 15 minutes I've spent in a long time.
I'm telling you. When you get somebody who really knows.
Knows his stuff.
No wasted words.
I tried throwing a couple curves at him, and he was right there with it.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, man. It's almost time to
To go drag racing?
It's almost time to go drag racing.
All right, take a little break and
Go product like brakes. There is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brake man. The brake man has been designing high performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brake man are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call The Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA.
Do you need
to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Your minimal experience flying a plane will never land you at a reputable airline. Luckily, you don't work for one.
Look at me, I'm flying.
Sure, we're concerned for our lives. Just not as concerned as saving $9 on a round trip to Fort Myers.
Oh!
The most direct route to Houston? Through Fort Lauderdale, with layovers in Detroit, Vancouver, and Kalamazoo.
I can't feel my legs.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh, skipper of the skies. You put the fly in fly-by-night operation.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Well, you know what? It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour. Dragging.
Hi, welcome back to Real Racing USA.
Hey,
live.
How are we doing? Good, how are you?
I'm ready to go. I'll tell you what.
Hey, guys, we're doing drag racing. Steve.
Yes, sir.
Who do you have with you there?
Yeah, Will Simplot on the phone. Man who is currently number two in the nation in the points chase for the Cresto Pro Drag. And he's coming off an absolutely awesome weekend that he had up in Salem, Harley-Davidson, Northern National. Tell us just a little bit about your race that you just finished up there, Will.
Well, we just got done racing up there in Portland, and we... Went out there the first round. We spun a belt, so we didn't run very good there. But we went back and we realized that we hurt the motor. We had to change motors between the first and second round. We got that done, made it for the second round, and laid down a 752, which qualified us number two. And everything was working great. We're having problems dropping a cylinder at the end of the track. But everything worked out great. I mean, every time we went out there, we went faster and better.
So. You know, one thing I kind of get a kick out of when I listen to a racer talk, and if you listen to what Will just said, they kick the belt off, but it's okay. Things are fine. We had to change a motor. It's okay. We're doing fine. We just took out a cylinder. It's okay. We're going faster. It's just incredible, the positive... I guess attitude that these drag racers have, and incredible. So you had to change your motor, you had a cylinder go out, you kicked the belt off, and you ended up going 752.
Yeah, 752 on the first pass with a brand new untried motor.
Wow!
So we're pretty happy with that.
I would say so. And curiosity now, you've gotten up to number two in the points. Nationally, and you're currently number one. You're leading in the Western Division. Is that right?
Oh yeah, we're kicking butt in the West.
So how are we looking now for the rest of the season? Anybody that's really got you somewhat concerned, or do you think you're pretty well falling into a good chance of taking that Western Division?
Well, you know, it's like anything can happen out there drag racing. So, you know, we're going to go out there and we're going to hit the last two races. We talked about going back east two more times, and we just don't have the resources right now to do that. But if I don't mess up, like I did in Bristol and then Sturgis, where I red lit, and we should be okay.
Will you be able to make at least one of the races back east?
You know, I've talked to my crew chief, and it's like we just don't have the time or the resources. We'd like to, because Rick Moore is like 223 points ahead of me, and I'd like to narrow that a little bit more. And we did the math, and there's just no way to beat him. I mean, he'd have to go out in the first round for the next four races, and we'd have to win him for the next four races for us to catch him.
You'd have to have him first round at each race, then, huh?
Yeah, he'd have to. And Rick Moore is a good racer, and he's got Bonmar backing him, and he's not going out in the first round. He's going to be in the final round every time, probably. So,
well, let me ask you, how long have you been doing this now?
This is our seventh year racing motorcycles. It's my third year on the pro bike. And we struggled for the first 2 years. We struggled. We'd blow a motor up every race. We'd ruin a motor. And we finally hooked up with Carl Pelletier, Competition Cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And he set us right on how to tune them. And then he started building our motors for us. And we got a bike that rocks now. So we were always number one or number two qualifier. Number three sometimes, but usually not. So,
well, let me ask you this. Are you involved in motorcycles when you're away from the track?
I used to own a bike shop here in Boise, Idaho, and there was just too much competition, and we finally shut it down. And before that, I was a truck driver. I had a little truck driving outfit and stuff, and I broke my neck in 2003 in six places, and that's when I went pro, because I was racing ET or racing Super Gas, and I couldn't look back anymore because my neck won't turn that far. So the next step was to go pro and not look back anymore.
You got to love that. If you guys listen to that, once again, the positive attitude. Yeah, I thought I would step up the pace a little bit. I broke my neck. So I thought, now it's time to go pro.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Unbelievable.
Going pro, it's like all you have to do is just get out there and do your job, just whack that throttle and hang on, make your bike go straight, and you never have to look back. It's like if the guy's beating you, he's in front of you. So,
Jack and I, we had talked earlier in the day, and we were talking about the determination, the will, and the things that the Harley guys endure and still continue to race.
It's unbelievable.
Some of the injuries and damages and stuff. Well, here's another one for the record books, boy. Here's a guy breaks his neck and turns around and says, now it's time to step up the pace.
if you go do that racing out there, you're going to break your neck. Yeah, so what?
Yeah, well, I think the safest place to be is on the racetrack myself.
If I break my neck, I'm going pro.
No, we were talking about that, Will. Seriously, I brought that up to Stevie. I mean, we've been doing interviews for, I've been interviewing motorsports people for 10 years, and my partner here, Rick Angies, as well, and we've been doing this for 10 years, man. Interviewed thousands of racing people, race car drivers, motorcycle riders. But I'll tell you, the all Harley guys, I have a whole new, you guys are on a whole different plane than anything. When we started doing this a few months ago, it's been an education for me for sure.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of great guys in the organization. I could name them all day long.
He's right on that, too. What Will just said is, My short time that I've had the wonderful opportunity to be involved with the Harleys, I haven't met the first guy yet that just wasn't great, didn't treat me great. I mean, just they're really, really good people. It's like a little, how do I explain it? No one really realizes that there's just wild racing going on out there, and 14 times a year they get together all over the country. And if you haven't been to see one of these, you really missed out on something. Now, I know in the Circle Track, which is very big, especially in the South here, there is some great racing. But still, I don't think there's too many guys that say, I broke my neck, so I think now I need to really go to the late models and really go fast now. It's just incredible. And you're not alone. You're devoted. And it's one of the things that Harley guys, they eat, sleep, and breathe Harley. You are a great representative of it, absolutely.
Yeah, well, we try hard. I mean, we don't go out there to be number two, because that sucks. We go out there to win. Every time we go out there, we try our damnedest. And I got a really good crew. David St. Clair, he's my tuner, and he's my crew chief, and he's my good buddy. And I got my son doing it this year, which has really got me pretty proud. He's running my old super gas bike.
Well, how old's your son now?
He's 24.
24.
Yeah, he was, you know, and he's got a number one qualifier under his belt this year so far. He just started doing it, and I've been really enjoying the hell out of that. That's been a blast.
We know they say the young blood, faster reaction times, you know, they're quicker, they're stronger, better trained, and they've learned, you know, from experience, you know, how to improve and how to step up.
Yeah, he watches me screw up, so hopefully he won't repeat.
But, you are his training film, huh?
Yeah, he's itching. He's already itching to get on that pro dragster. It's like we'll give him another year in the lower ranks before we bring him up onto the bike.
Well, let me ask you, before you take him to the pros, Will, he doesn't have to break his neck now, does he?
No, he doesn't. I prefer he doesn't. It's like, yeah, the neck thing's not a good thing.
How did that happen, by the way?
Oh, I was out messing around in an old 66 Fastback Mustang, and I punched it, and telephone pole jumped out in front of me.
He didn't break his neck on a motorcycle.
Cars are dangerous.
Figures it took a car to do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, in fact, you can ask any biker, when the accident's about to happen, it's because some guy in a car didn't see him.
Got that right.
No doubt.
And that's a true statement, boy. I have visited the ditch myself a few times, you know, because and somebody looked at me and watched me go to it.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta ride defensively, that's for sure. And then they call it what do they call it? Aggressive driving. But that's the way it is on motorcycles.
Well, let me ask you, what are we looking for down the road for next year? Are we gonna stay with the pros? Are you gonna spend more time working with your boy? What's your future?
We're gonna do it again next year. It's like we tried to go pro fuel this last winter, and I just didn't quite make it, you know, bunny wise, and we're still shooting to move up. You know, it's either pro fuel or top fuel, and it's just a matter of getting the right sponsors on board and giving them what they want, so they give us what we want, which is money.
And you got to have those parts and pieces, and it takes a lot of money to put.
Oh yeah,
together.
You know, Pro Dragster is probably one of the more affordable nitro. Well, it is the most affordable nitro class, and that if you do it right, I just got done delivering my motor back to Carl Pelletier Competition Motorcycles, and I counted up the passes, and we had 48 passes on that motor before something went wrong on it. The only reason it broke is because I was too greedy and I wouldn't get out of the throttle in that first pass of qualifying.
There's a reason why the tachometer reads a certain number and a little red light comes on when it's time to shift.
Yeah, well, we don't have little red lights on our bikes. Just to hear.
Are you allowed to run a shift light?
Yeah, no shift light. We don't have a transmission. It's a jack shaft bike. It's high gear only.
Just high gear only then.
Yeah, so we just whack it and hang on. Try to make it go straight.
I thought you were shifting it, thankful. So you're just on it and just stand on it and hang on tight.
Yeah, all right. I tell you, that's how those little pro dragsters work, this slipper locker clutch.
Okay.
And, you know, if you get your clutch set up right, we bought our clutch for the first 2 years. We finally went to a Heidner hat, and that made all the difference in the world. It's just simple and easy to use. And I started laying down bitching 60-foot times. And, you know, even though I'm losing a cylinder, I've been losing a cylinder for a lot of races, it's my 60-foot to my 8th miles that have won me the races.
Well, let me ask you, when you talk about losing a cylinder, is that because the plug's going away, or what usually causes just a single cylinder to go away? Too rich?
Yeah, well, it's going rich on us, but what happens on nitro motors, it's like we go out there, and it's under a big load as you take off, but as this bike goes down the track, it kind of lays down, and you lose the load on the motor, so it'll cause either front or rear cylinder to go rich on you, and it blows the spark out, basically, so you're just dragging a cylinder behind you with you while you're going on the track, and it really slows you down.
Hey, Will.
Yes.
You know who we're going to interview next?
Sonny Barrett.
There you go.
You tell him hi for me.
Okay.
You know, he has plans to go by you, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, he might be able to get past me in the nation points because he's going to go to the next few races, but he's sure he's going to have a hard time getting past me in the West Coast.
I have a feeling you'll be waiting for him in the lane.
Oh, yeah. We'll be there.
Okay. Listen, guys, thank you for coming on tonight.
Thanks, Will.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it, man.
All right. You guys have a good night.
All right.
Take care. Thanks again.
All right.
All right. Stevie, I tell you what, man. It continues to amaze, and I guess what we're going to do here is
you
take...
You break your neck, you step up the pace.
There you go. You just
wild.
It's beyond. It's beyond. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll come back with Sonny Burris.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA. When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman. On the web at thebrakeman.com.
All right, we're back. Real Racing USA live on Tuesday night. And let me crank things up over here. And I believe Stevie LaTemp has Sonny Burris hooked up, another pro drag rider.
Absolutely. Sonny Burris, who I don't know if it can happen, but Will Stimpot just said that it's not going to happen. He's not going to let you buy on points out there on the West Coast. But you're coming back east for a couple races, are you not?
Yes, I am. I'm coming back to Richmond and Rockingham both.
And how do we stand in the points chase there now? I believe you're currently number four nationally.
Right. And I'm...
Is the door open?
I think I can get into second place, but catching Rick Moore is going to be... he's going to have some problems somewhere for us to get him. I mean, if he keeps, keeps pace, even if I was to win every race and he went to the... into the semis, even I can't get by him in points.
So he's got to be knocked off first round.
Yeah, he's that, or something happened. He don't qualify, or something like that. You know, and I'm not wishing any bad luck on him, but you know how that goes.
I understand. Well, listen, you guys, you and Will did have a knockdown drag out here at the last race. Tell us what happened. You ended up, unfortunately, number two on that one.
Well, I actually don't feel it was unfortunately. We had a heck of a weekend. We went out and first round of qualifying, I just went out and blistered the racetrack and set fast time. And then Will had a motor problem, and he put his other motor in, or engine in, and it ran a lot better than his other motor. And he started coming to me, you know. And when we went to the finals, I knew that he was going to throw something at me, so I threw a bunch at him. And it was probably the closest race I ever been in, because he got me right at the end. I was skidding the front tire. I turned the wheel in because the bike was going right, and I turned the wheel in, and when it came down, it just was skidding down the racetrack so bad that the people down at that end said there was smoke coming off the front tire. And it was
so wait a minute. Now, what you're telling me is that we got to the other end of the drag strip on one wheel, and then you decided that you had a counter steer it, so you set it down, and you're smoking the front tire trying to get this thing centered.
Right. And it just when it was skidding the tire, it just scrubbed off enough speed that it let him drive up alongside of me, and we went across the line, and you absolutely couldn't tell who won. And we got down to the other end, and he goes, "Who won? Who won?" And I said, "Who cares? That was a heck of a race, you know." And I got to congratulate him. He stepped up, you know, and we both ran faster in the finals than I qualified on Saturday. So that meant that we went after each other. Yeah.
Well, good side-by-side racing action.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to change the topic just a little bit. I want to ask you what's coming up at the next race that nobody out there really knows yet.
Well, I don't know whether, you know, there's a few people know. We purchased a Top Fuel bike, and I'm going to ride it and the Pro Drag bike at the last four races. I'm going to ride at Richmond, Rockingham, Pomona, and Las Vegas, and plus my Pro Drag bike. And it's Joyce Sternati's bike because, you know, he went and rode for Ray Price, and he had it for sale, and it was real reasonable. The whole deal was such a good deal that we couldn't pass it up. So we bought the bike, and we have DJ tuning it. And pretty much the deal we made with them that I will probably haul the bike, but when it gets to the races, all I want to do is sit on it and ride it because I still am trying to, you know, get my Pro Drag bike. I want to get up at least in second in points, you know, so that's my primary deal. So DJ, he's going to tune it and take care of it and everything for us. And I think I have the best race program ever going into Top Fuel. I mean, it's just kind of a dream come true for me.
So. Well, it's got to be exciting but it's also a major step. Have you ever rode Top Fuel before?
Never. Ever. Well, it's just like I told you in St. Louis, you know what, in June? I've never rode a drag bike in my life, you know.
It just blows me away. I have to. You have never had a broken neck or anything, now, have you?
No.
Any broken bones at all?
I broke my wrist.
Oh, I don't think that even qualifies.
You still
have to pay dues yet.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say that. I got a real bad concussion in Peoria, Illinois at TT Nationals once, and then I got in a wreck here at Sidewinders in Portland. A guy ran into me and ran me out through the fence and ruptured my spleen, and then I had a broken wrist. That's the only major things I've had in all of my 25 years of dirt track racing. And I probably rode close to 80 races a year.
Wow.
And I traveled all over the United States, and I probably rode 90% of the dirt tracks in the United States.
So you were really big into dirt track racing then before
Oh, yeah. You
jumped into the drags. Now, see, I didn't know that. Tell us just a little bit about your dirt track history.
Well, I just got involved in it with some friends of mine, you know, and we'd go out and ride on the weekends and stuff, and it was just a natural for me. I mean, I was very fortunate that it was just I came along at the right time when a privateer could beat the factory guys, you know, and there was some people here in town that like Blackie Blackburn and Keith Randall that were Indy type car guys, and they taught me how to build engines and stuff like that, you know. And the one thing that was really easy for me, and it just came along with the deal, and I was very fortunate that I really, really understood chassis. You know, I mean, I knew what a chassis needed, and I knew what I wanted it to do, and I could change it and make it work, and so I understood a chassis. I have in my mental mind, I have what they call a three-lap or a three-race rule. If you haven't figured it out in three laps or three races, then do something else, you know. And I was always able to do that, you know. And when I was dirt tracking, on a dirt track, they will say a half mile or a mile or something. The racetrack track subtly changes about every three laps. And so you have to be on top of that all the time. You have to see what it's doing and readjust your bike, you know. And where we have a the luxury over a car driver is I weigh 180 pounds, so I was 180 pounds of chassis adjustment. I could move forward, back, whatever I wanted to do to make the bike, you know, whatever the racetrack dictated, then I could make the bike work to that. And so I was very fortunate when I went racing that that was all just, you know, it came naturally to me. It wasn't something that, you know, that I had to learn or anything. It was just there. And I was very, very lucky on that.
But one of the things I wanted to ask you, apparently you're able to transfer a lot of the technology that you learned in your dirt biking career into the asphalt. And, you know, when you get to NASCAR or the guys that race the local tracks and stuff with their cars on the weekend, that's, they're changing springs, you know, and just tons of different items trying to get them to handle to go into turns and stuff. How much suspension adjustment do you make on a drag bike to get it to go down? Do you have to set up for each track, or can you pretty well dial it in and ride?
No, you can pretty much dial it in and ride. You're pretty much, the major changes you'll make at a racetrack is clutch. You know, how much clutch you can put in it and where you want to keep it from spinning the tire. Like mine will go out about a second and a half, and it wants to, it doesn't spin the tire, but it dances around. It's on the rear wheel, and to me, it's just like riding my dirt track bike. You know, I mean, you know, I've had it on the rear wheel at over 100 miles an hour before, and I like it. You know, I mean, it's fun to me, you know. So that, you know, from my dirt track days, when this bike does that, it's nothing that, you know, it's okay with me. I can handle it just fine, you know. And in dirt tracking, when you, you know, all the way around the racetrack, you feel the bike from your knees up to your crotch. You feel the bike at all times. You know what I mean? You have to if you're going to make it work good for you. And that just went perfect into drag racing, you know. Because I can feel the bike start and go right or left. And most of the time when I have to move the bike, I don't realize I did it till after I did it. Because it's just a kind of a natural thing for me to do because I did it for so long, you know.
How much body shifting do you actually do on something like that? And if so, is it a major shift, or are these just little, you know, subtle little movements to counter it? Because when I think of it, I can look back to in my younger days when I drove front-engine dragsters, and we used to sit back behind the motor, and when they would come out of the hole, you know, there was a tendency to drift to the right or left, but you could feel it. I understand
right.
What you're talking about when you say feel it. I would counter it without even thinking. And then
right.
If the race was done, I would say, well, that's what I did. That's, you know. But how does that relate, you know, as far as with yours? Are you able to actually, you know, move this thing, know exactly how much you want to move your body?
Oh, yeah.
This thing go. It's
yeah,
not a gamble.
Like
it's,
I said,
God, too much, you know?
all them years of dirt tracking, you know, moving around on the bike and making it move and stuff like that without, you want to get your bike to handle as well as you can without having to make a major move. Because anytime you move the bike on the way down the quarter mile, you're scrubbing off speed. You know, I don't care if it's just a little thing, you're still scrubbing off speed. And so it most of the time it's just a light move. You know, this bike that I'm riding, it's pretty responsive. A lot of times I can move it with my arms or my knees even sometimes, you know. And
so a knee movement will actually straighten you back up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it'll... And the thing, the trick to it is, and this is the dirt track stuff coming in again, is you want to catch it early. You don't want to be behind it. You want to be ahead of it if you can, you know. And so I do it automatically, so I don't really think about it that much. I'll move it, and then I'll go, wow, you know, I just moved it, you know. And I remember what I did so that I'll know, you know, what I need to do on the bike to make it go straight or whatever I'm doing. And most of the time when it does go right or left, it's something that I did. It's usually not the bike.
And how fast are you going, Sonny, when you do that little knee movement?
Oh, probably at the eighth mile, around 140, 150 miles an hour, you know. And when I originally told everybody I was going to go ride these, I mean, everybody just, you know, you're going to get killed, and you can't do this, and you don't have the talent, and all this other stuff. And I'm amazed at how easy it is for me to ride it. I mean, I'm just having an absolute blast. You know, I tell Alan, I said, you're a magician. You just turned an old man into a kid. because I'm just having the time of my life out there. I can't remember when I've had so much fun.
Jack and I need to get two Cushman motor scooters. We need to get out there, and we'll have a demolition derby. We'll show you guys how to destroy two bikes before we would get to the 60-foot mark.
With knee pads.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'd have steel knee pads. I'd look like something from out of the movie.
How old are you, Sonny? Sonny, how old are you?
I'm 71. I'll be 72 in November.
Yeah, Sonny told me his goal was to be the oldest champion, or oldest rookie of the year, wasn't it,
yep.
Sonny?
Yep.
Oldest rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Because for all these years, he's tuned. And just now he has found this is his first year of actually riding on a drag bike at 71.
Rick missed that. Rick was out of the studio proper here for that little bit. Sonny, let me rewind that. Sonny, how old are you?
71 years old.
Huh?
Yep.
He's just a kid, let me tell you.
Yeah, just a kid.
Wow.
I have, I think what it is I've always been really active my whole life. You know, I've always been around racing of some kind. I was crew chief on race cars and stuff like that. And then when I got into the motorcycling, that was kind of a deal where I had no intentions on being a motorcycle racer, and I went to some motorcycle races, and I thought, well, them guys are nuts, man. That's just crazy to watch those guys do that. And my buddies got me kind of involved in it, and we used to go out and go trail riding and stuff, and we'd ride these cross-country things and stuff, and I had a rigid frame Triumph, and my butt was higher in my head everywhere I went because there was no suspension in the back. And they actually... for the championship at that year, this was back, I want to say 1960, 59 or 60, we went to the championship here in Newburgh, Oregon, and they put me on a 500 Triumph of a buddy of mine, and it had suspension and everything, and I was riding in the 40-inch class, and they put me on a 30-incher, and I thought, oh, well, I'm going to just get beat, you know, and I went, because I had suspension and a nice soft seat and I never rode anything like that, I went out and lapped everybody three times on this course that was about a mile around. And that started my race career right there.
You know? Wow.
Well, I know that when we get to the banquet out in Vegas, if I have the opportunity, I don't know that I'll be up there on that stage or not. And I just hope that you're super successful, you know, out for the rest of the season. And I just want to be able to say just one time, ladies and gentlemen, at age 71, he is the rookie of the year.
Stevie, now that brings us back to the point we had talked about before. How old is Will?
I want to say early 30s.
I think he's more. He's in his 40s.
Sonny, Sonny, you're picking on the youngster, man.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I was really proud of him this weekend. You know, he stepped up and ran the. It was the best race I think I've ever been in. It was just thrilling, and I went and congratulated him, and I still congratulate him. You know, I wanted to win, of course, and I'm, you know, not real happy about losing, but I was really proud of him and happy for him because he pulled that off. You know, I had him beat all the way down and started skidding the tire, and he just got by me by 9/1000th of a second. You know, and it was just it's going to be a race that I'll remember for a long, long, long time, you know. Yeah.
You know, guys, 9/1000th of a second comes down to, I believe, about 1 3/4 of an inch.
Yeah, something like that.
Tire tread.
I'm looking over.
It's a bat's eyelash.
Yeah, I'm looking over and I'm going, wow, this is just a dead heat, you know.
Yeah.
And it was pretty thrilling. And I think out of the whole deal, Simplot, I've always liked him, you know, and stuff. And when I came along this year, I don't want to say you had an attitude, but it was kind of like that, you know. And we just, when we talked to each other, it was just like, yeah, no, okay, bye, and stuff like that. And I think after the race was over, I went over his pits and told him, I congratulated him again, told him, I said, God, that was a hell of a race. I really admire you, and I'm glad I got to race against you like that. And I think I gained his respect just out of that race right there. He realizes that I'm a real racer and that I come to win, you know, and if you're gonna win the race, you got to go through me, you know, and that's what I want from my fellow racers, is their respect.
Well, Sonny, one thing for sure that you are a prime example of, longevity in motorcycle racing is a hell of a lot longer than stock car racing.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been fortunate. This deal here with this drag bike, I've wanted to do this ever since the first drag race I went to with Steve Dorn back in 1999. And the first time I saw a fuel bike run, I went, I want to ride one of those. And everybody goes, you can't ride one of those, you know. And I've just never had an opportunity. And then this Alan Sedlowski came along, and he talked to me for 3 years about this ride. And I was supposed to work for Steve Dorn this year, and there was just some circumstances that I decided that I couldn't go that route because not with Steve, it was somebody else. And so I told Alan, I said, okay, talk to me here. What are we going to do? And the guy just stepped up to the plate, and he just said, here, I give you this money, and you build the bike like you want to. And he gave me no restrictions and put me in a position that I never, ever, I mean, I wanted to do it, but I just knew in the back of my mind it would never happen, you know. And now we're even going to Top Fuel, which is even just, I'm just overwhelmed at the whole thing. I mean, it's just way cool, you know. I'm just so excited about it, you
That's
know.
Very, very, very cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, Stevie, I think you picked two really good...
Outstanding
riders for this show tonight, no doubt about
it. It's so easy. I've got hundreds of them just like these guys I had this evening out there to talk.
Yeah. So, did you... you already talked to Will?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I talked to Will. In fact, yeah, he said that he wasn't going to let you get by out there in the West, but he did say he thought that you had a shot, you know, going east and stuff, that you were going to definitely be moving up.
Yeah, he said to say hello to you, and he definitely had a. You can listen to his interview. It'll be on Real Racing USA in our archives later tonight, and so you can come on sometime tomorrow to realracingusa.com to go to the All Harley Drag section, and your guys' this section of our show will be there, and you can listen to his interview.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
because I really like Will, and like I said, that this, you know, you have in my career, I've had, you know, quite a few memorable races, you know, and this just joined them, you know. It was just fun. It was absolutely fun to race him, and it was and it just turned out awesome, you know. And I was, you know, like I said, I was really proud of him because, you know, I ran a 7:49 in qualifying on Saturday. And he stepped up and tuned his bike up and ran a 7:43 in the final. I ran a 7:47. So we both ran faster in the final than I qualified on Saturday, you know. And I think that's a testament of, you know, we're competitors. You know, we both knew that we had to do something or we was going to get beat, and we did it.
All right. Yeah. Pretty cool, Steve.
Absolutely. These guys are simply the best.
All right.
I think for age 71, I can truthfully say it. That Sonny Burris drives like he's 17.
All right, Sonny, we really, really appreciate you spending some time with us, and we'll be keeping up with you on the All Harley Drag Racing website and also on realracingusa.com and checking up on this battle between yourself and the youngster, Will Semplock.
The youngster. He'll like that.
There you go. All right.
Okay.
Sonny, thanks again, my friend.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye.
All right, Stevie. Very cool, man. Two good ones.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was definitely fun tonight. Of course, it's always fun when we're going drag racing.
Yeah, no doubt. And I guess we'll get with you here in the next few days, and maybe either this coming week or maybe the week after, we're going to move this show to Wednesday night and really extend it a little bit.
Well, I think that's going to be exciting. Now, this coming weekend, I'm headed up to Canada as I have a race for the IHRA. But then I'll be coming back, and I will be in Richmond announcing for the S&S Cycle Jim McClure Nationals. And they're going to have one little race in between that I think is really kind of nice. It shows you how about the Harley guys and where their heart's at. It's a one-day race, and it's going to be up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina at Farmington Dragway. And they're doing it for the March of Dimes.
All right.
Race to save babies.
It's a cool deal. All right, Stevie. We will talk to you around the corner, man.
Absolutely.
All right.
Take care, my friend.
All right.
All right. Good night, Stevie.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye.
Well, Rick.
Another edition in the books. 1 year later.
Yeah. So we talked to John Sapricone and Bobby Deal and a pleasant little conversation to...
Carol Wicks thought so.
Yeah, compared to a year ago. And Valerie Thompson out there in the salty, wet Bonneville Salt Flats.
Yeah, wish her all the luck in getting that world speed record. And hopefully the rain will go away.
And reporter Skip Wall out there doing the Wayland Modified Tour, following up on all that good stuff. The Brake Man.
The Brake Man.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, if you want to know about your brakes, go to brakeman.com.
Yeah, pretty cool. Yep. Next week, we'll pull some more out of our bag of tricks. Oh, and we talked to Eddie Carrier. Can't forget.
Yeah, Eddie Carrier Jr. Yeah.
Salt Rock?
Salt Rock Express.
Salt Rock Express.
Yes, sir.
Eddie Carrier Jr.
Winner. A lot of salt in the show tonight.
And you know, that goes with what I told you about after the show. You got to put salt on them margaritas.
Yeah, there you go, man.
All right. I'll tell you, it's cool, man. And we'll see how this all works out over the next year. Yeah, that ain't the one we wanted,
yeah.
Is it? That ain't the one
we wanted. At least Bill used to know how to play the music.
I'm telling you.
Most of the time.
And we do want to thank, no doubt, you know, this all kind of got started again after us all being on a hiatus from broadcasting. But yep. it all started again out of Greg Kielma's KGKI Studios.
KGKI Studios.
Yeah, and could not have gotten to this point without Mr. Bill Green, who's now
absolutely
over there doing the Tampa Tribune reporting.
And the sprint car deal.
Yeah, and wish the sprint car deal.
Wish him all the luck with that sprint car deal.
Oh, boy, he's going to need it.
Yeah, it's an uphill battle, but I think Bill can do it.
Yeah. All right.
From the Real Racing USA studios, another edition of Real Racing USA. We'll be back next Tuesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on RealRacingUSA.com. Good night now.